Good morning.
It
is good to worship with you today, whether you're online or in person. I'm so grateful that you're with us. My name is Tim Ward. If I don't know you, I'm the pastor here at Crossroads, and I am so excited for all that God has in store and the ways that God's gonna meet us right in the midst of our story. Now, here's the thing about this church. We're a church where all people are welcome. Doesn't matter what you bring in here. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your story is. You're welcome today, and I wanna invite you to participate in however you want to participate. If you wanna sing, sing. If you wanna be in prayer, be in prayer. If you wanna listen, listen. But I pray that God meets you right in the middle of your story. Friends, I wanna encourage you, everybody who's here, to take out your connection card if you're in person, or get out the app, because the connection card is on the app. You're welcome to take your phone out and do that. But fill this out. If you're online, you go to crossroadsnova.org/here and fill that out. It's really important that you let us know that you're here, because we pray for you. We pray for every single one of the forms that's filled out, everything that you write on there, we pray for. So I wanna encourage you to fill that out. Second thing is, you're gonna find an insert in your worship guide today. It says small groups on the top. Last week I talked about small groups and the importance of stepping into those. And if you're interested in that, I hope you'll fill that out. But there's a really big square at the bottom that matters. It says Crossroads New Connections. I'd like to meet someone new at Crossroads. As we're in this series about belonging, we've been talking about how we help people feel more connected and engaged. It's really our value over the course of this next year. So what we're doing is, if you check that box, we're gonna connect you with somebody else in the church, or another family in the church, or another couple in the church that you can go out and grab coffee with, or hang out with, or spend time with. Because we believe people should be connected. Last week we had about 60 folks do that. I believe we can do that again this week. So I wanna encourage you, fill out this form. If you didn't fill out one last week, do it this week. Last week I said, if you don't fill it out, I'm gonna be really sad. And a couple came up to me after church and they said, hey, we're leaving for a few months. And I said, well, I'm sad because you're leaving, but I'm less sad because you didn't fill out a form today. But for the rest of you, fill out a form so I won't be sad. In my house, that means a lot if I'm not sad. So I wanna encourage you, fill one of those out. You can place those in the giving baskets when they come by. We do something here at the church called ESL, and we're gonna do it for basically the whole months of February and March. It's English as a second language, or English for speakers of other languages. It's an important thing. It can be a life-changing thing for people. It can absolutely be transforming for them to learn English and to be able to step into different jobs and different roles. So it's important what we do here. You can help out on Wednesday or Thursday evenings. You can be a teacher, an assistant, help out with hospitality or childcare. If you can do one night a week, just check that box on the connection card. It can really change somebody's life. So I wanna encourage you to do that. Next Sunday after worship, we have brunch for those who wanna go. We have two places. I think one of them's almost full, but we have space at the other. So if you're interested in brunch, check the box on there. We'll get you connected. And then after worship, we're gonna have a fair next week, actually, a time when you can go around and find out about different things going on in the church and ways that you can serve. And that'll happen out in the fellowship hall. Friends, I know that's a lot of things. We're blessed to be a church that has a lot of things going on. But remember, our goal is that we might connect and engage with one another, connect and engage with our greater community, and ultimately connect and engage with God. So I pray that you experience that today. The ushers are gonna come, they're gonna receive your connection cards, your small group sheets, your time of giving. And I wanna tell you, as you give today, there are lots of ways you can do it. There are envelopes back on the walls in the back if you need an envelope, but there's a lot of different ways to give online. Give generously, and know that your giving makes it possible for us to reach our greater community, which we're gonna talk about today. So thank you in advance for being generous people. Wonder if you'd pray with me and for me just a moment. God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth in some way would be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that this wouldn't be about me. This would be about you connecting with people. God, it would be about you engaging people. God, that we would have our minds open to understand something you want to say in this moment, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, be present in the way that I know you can. Amen. So I have to admit, I'm not a big NFL football guy. I don't spend a lot of time watching that. I'm a college football guy, really one specific college football team. It's been a rough ride for many years, go Wahoos, but you know, we do it anyway because we're faithful and we stick together. But something was really powerful that happened just a few weeks ago in Monday Night Football. I'm sure you heard about it. I'm sure everybody heard about it. It happened to Damar Hamlin. Do you know that name? Right? Many people didn't know that name. I was one of the people that didn't know that name. But after it happened, after he collided with T. Higgins, and he went down and then got up and went right back down and then was unresponsive, the world seemed to sort of pay attention. Did you notice? It was all over social media feeds, hashtag pray for Damar, right? It was all over things that I was reading. So I had to go to the news. I said, who is this person and what happened to them? And it was a really, really scary moment. The announcers went silent, right? Rarely are football announcers silent. They always have something to say, but they were caught off guard. They didn't know what to say. In fact, they didn't know, do we keep playing the game? What happens? How do we do? What happens in this situation? Again, social media lit up. And the good news is, if you don't know the rest of the story, after being in the hospital and after a few scary days, he's okay. Right? And that's a great story in and of itself, because a lot of people were worried that he wouldn't be okay. A lot of people were worried this story was going to go south. But there's a bigger story. I hate to use that word, but there's a bigger story that comes out of this. A really potent story that people are sharing and things are going on. A little bit of background. Shortly after he finished his football career at the University of Pittsburgh, Damar Hamlin made plans to give back to the community where he grew up. He started a toy drive. He wanted to help out his mom's preschool and the kids that went to the preschool where his mom worked. So he wanted to make sure that he would fill those kids with toys and have them receive those gifts. So he started a GoFundMe page. And I want to read to you what he said in that moment. He said, as I embark on my journey in the NFL, and this was back before the accident, of course, this was 2021. He said, I will never forget where I come from. I'm committed to using my platform to positively impact the community that raised me. Now, just a couple years later, this thing happens. And people are wondering, what do we do? Because, you know, we like to do something when something happens. So people started giving to his GoFundMe, not knowing really exactly how they were blessing children. So by the end of that night, by 9 p.m. that night, his goal was $2,500. By 9 p.m., the GoFundMe was at $30,000 that night. In the next few days, the GoFundMe got up to $3 million. And then by the end, then on Tuesday, it was at $5 million. But by the end, last I saw it, it was up to $8.6 million. Now they have a problem, because now they have to figure out what to do, because that's a lot of toys for one preschool, right? They got to figure out what they're going to do with all this money. But isn't that a great story? Right? Isn't that a great story of humanity that says, not only are we going to come behind and pray for this guy, but we want to do something. Now, here's the really powerful thing. Isn't it great that Damar Hamlin already had something in his life that was really good that everybody could give to? Right? His story didn't start when the accident happened. His story started long before. He's a guy that had this incredible heart to care for people, this incredible heart to do something. And isn't it good that as a society and as a culture, we stood behind it and we said, yes, we want to be part of that. Man, I love good stories. In fact, I would bet that some of you have already shared that story. I bet some of you have already either told people or Facebook or Twitter or all the stuff, right? Shared that story, got it out there. In fact, I bet some of you will go home after worship today and have lunch with somebody and tell them the details of that story. Some of you, some real special ones of you, might even share the message from today, right? Share the sermon and say, listen to what my pastor talked about. But you're gonna share a story, because we love to share good stories. We love to tell good stories. My son is really good at telling jokes, and he just doesn't tell them quite as loudly as I do. So I often come behind and tell his same joke, and people love it so much. He doesn't love that I tell his jokes over and over again, but I love it because I love a good story. We're in a series we just started last Sunday, a series about belonging. And what I said last week was, I think belonging is a basic human need. Would you agree? A basic human need. I would argue, and some would say this isn't true, because ultimately if you don't have air, you can't breathe, you can't live. I would argue that belonging is as important as air. Being part of something is as important as water. Because what we know is that people who go through their entire life feeling like they don't belong end up having a lot of challenges. don't feel like they have anybody that they can talk to or connect with. I talked about something called story brand last week, which I'm not gonna go back into, but the idea was that you have to identify the hero. And I said, you're the hero in the story each week when I come up to preach. And when I come up to give a message, I say, what is the hero's challenge? And right now, I believe one of our greatest challenges, not just in our church, but in society, is connecting. Something happened during COVID, and it wasn't that COVID created a new problem for us. I think COVID identified the problem that already existed, that we weren't connecting on a deep level, that we weren't stepping out and building community and relationships like we once did. So this series, we're going to talk about what it means to belong, not only to a community, but to ultimately belong to God. And the words of that first song that we heard today, the words of that first song that we were singing, you are loved by God. Right, you're gonna hear a song later. You were loved by God before you ever knew it. That was the theme of the message last week. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. I wanna encourage us to tell a story. Today, as we talk about belonging, I wanna talk about helping other people understand that they also belong in God's love. Helping other people understand that they belong in God's story. And I don't say that a lot of times. When we say that, a lot of times when the church says that, they say it because there's something wrong with those people, right? They just need to come and get fixed by the church. That's not why I say that, and I want to be very clear. I believe that there is something in us, as humans, as we were created by God, that needs the love of God. And I believe there is something in us that gets activated when we begin to experience that in the midst of a community. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, which I'm not gonna assume is everybody in this room, but for those of us who do, we have a story to tell. We have a really good story to tell, right? It's not a bad story, it's a really good story. And I wonder what stops us, you know, humans love to tell stories. What stops us from telling that story? Well, there's a couple of things that I've been thinking about that stop us from telling that story. Some of us have a fear of being rejected by others. Right, if we talk about our faith, we have this fear that in some way we're gonna be rejected. Maybe our friends won't be friends with us anymore because they'll think we're crazy Bible thumpers or something like that. Right, we're afraid. Some of us fear that we might be wrong in something that we say. Right, we don't talk about our faith because we're like, the truth is, I'm not fully sure about it. So if I go and talk to somebody and they ask me a question I don't know, I'm out. Some of us fear that we might come across as non-scientific, non-intelligent. Because people for years, and we did a whole series on this back last year, people for years have suggested that science and faith can't live together, and that's just not true, right? They can. But some of us are worried about that. Some of us are concerned that if we offend someone by talking about our faith, we only offend someone when we talk about our faith if we do it with the intention to offend, or if we do it with the intention of othering. Right? Or maybe some of us have a fear of sharing this personal story with others. Some of us, and I know this is nobody here, have a fear of sharing our faith because then maybe that person will come to our church and maybe, just maybe, they'll steal some of the love that we have in that experience, and we want them in their own places. Right? Work stays work, church stays church, home stays home. Right? We have different reasons why we don't share this story, and most of them come down to we are afraid. Right, we have this fear. Now, here's the thing about me. I know you're gonna be shocked by this. I'm a pastor, right? And sometimes when we find ourselves in new situations, which we did when we moved here a year and a half ago, I like to hold on to that information for just a little while. Because what I find is, if I tell people right away the very first thing that I'm a pastor, they change, right? They'll stop telling me what good movies they saw, right? They'll watch their language consistently. Because I've never heard a bad word, right? They'll invite me to their home and they'll ask me one of my favorite questions. Oh, do you drink? But instantly they'll put up this wall because what they assume is that in the church, if I'm a pastor in the church, then that means I have already determined things about them. And that's simply not true. So I hold on to it as long as I can. Now, when we moved in our new neighborhood, we live in the house that the church owns. So we had people come in and go, we know you're the new pastor. So that's when I start looking at my family and I go, get it together really quickly. All these people are looking at us, the fishbowl, right? So I get why we wait. I get why we're sometimes nervous about sharing. I get it. Like, this is not a judgment message. The idea of this message as we walk through it is there are people who are in our community, around us, where we live, in our neighborhoods, who are longing for something like you have, who are longing for a community that will love them and walk with them and care for them, and they simply don't know where to get it. So that's where I want to get us today. Now, I want to talk about Paul. And if you've known me for any times, Paul from the Bible, Paul and I do not always agree on everything. Paul is a very strong personality and says a lot of strong things. But I want to give you some background on Paul that will walk us through this message today that I think will be really helpful. Paul was a guy, if you know any of his background, any of his story, he was a guy who at one point persecuted Christians. He was a guy who really thought that these people who were following what they called the way back then, the way of Jesus, were wrong and they were bad. And literally, if he found out about it, he would either turn you in or find a way to have you hurt. He was a guy that you would have been really afraid of to tell that you were a follower of Jesus because you were afraid that it would have really bad implications on your life. But then he had this moment. He had this amazing experience where he was transformed. He could see in a different way, where he decided, not by his own understanding, but because something happened in him, that he was a follower of Jesus. And now once Paul decided that, once that happened in his life, there was no stopping him. He went to the ends of the earth to tell people the story because he believed that story was really powerful. He believed that it was super important. He believed literally, because his life was transformed by Jesus, that other people could have that experience too. We talk a lot here in this church about transformation. We believe in transformation. We believe it can happen. And Paul believed in it with all of who he was. He believed in it so much in the beginning of the book of Romans that he writes to the Romans, which is the sixth book in the New Testament. It says it from the very beginning. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. It was the biggest thing for him in his life. And that's his letter that he's writing. He says, I'm called to share the story. It's the biggest thing of who I am and what I'm supposed to do. Now, there are many Bible scholars, people who look at this stuff and read this stuff regularly, who believe that Romans is one of the most important books in the New Testament to the gospel. And you say, yeah, but what about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Those are the stories of Jesus. Yes, they're very important, but there are many scholars who believe for the first time what Romans does is actually put the rubber to the road and help people connect with their faith and help people take those next steps. It contains foundational beliefs about who we are as Christians, about who we are as people who follow God and connect with Jesus. The theme of the book is gospel. And that's a word that we throw around a lot in the church. That word gospel means good news. And I'm going to take it a little bit deeper. It's the good news about Jesus. Paul states that the gospel is not just something to be investigated, examined, analyzed, and dissected. So for all those people who have said, you know, you're supposed to read your Bible every day and get deep, but reading the Bible is important, but Paul said it's not the most important piece. He said the most important piece about the gospel is that it's something to be shared. Can you imagine the difference in Damar Hamlin's story if nobody had shared it? If nobody had seen it on television? If nobody had gone, now that doesn't mean he wouldn't have still been healed, but the impact afterwards to the lives that were transformed came because the story was shared over and over and over again. And that's what Paul is calling us to do, to share the story, to get it out there. Now let's get back to this gospel language. The word gospel comes from this Anglo-Saxon term meaning Godspell. Have you heard of the musical? Godspell. And that comes from the Greek word euangelion, which literally means good news or telling good news. You're like, Tim, why are you giving us these big words? Why does it matter? Does anybody know what that word looks like that we use in the English language? Evangelism. See, some of you are like, evangelism, right? The scary church word, evangelism. I want to clean up a misconception about that today. It shouldn't be a scary word. It's only scary because of what we've done to it. Because we've messed it up. We've turned it into othering. We've turned evangelism into going, it's like going into somebody's house and telling them why their furniture doesn't look nice. Right? When you go in and you notice that there's something wrong in somebody's life, that's not at all what it was meant to be. It's literally good news. Only humans can turn good news into bad news, right? Only we have the ability to go in and say, well, this is supposed to be good news, but let me tell you why you're not good enough for it. But that's not the point of the gospel. It literally is to be shared as good news. Now, we're going to look today at Romans 1, 11 through 17, but I want to give you just a little bit of background about the few verses that come before that, because I think it's really helpful. These verses tell us something about it, and here's what they tell us. The first is that the gospel was promised. What that means is the people were told from a long time ago that Jesus was going to come and transform their life. That was a promise that they received, and they received it. The second is the gospel is centered in Jesus. That does not mean that the gospel is centered in Jesus in a way that Jesus defines who's in and who's out. It means that the gospel is centered in a Jesus of incredible love and welcome and invitation. Okay, you get that in the beginning of Romans. Here's the third part. The gospel is enough for all people. Do you see that word all? That's an important word. If the gospel is enough for all people and we're to share the story, then how do we go out as the church and find ways to tell people they're not allowed? Right? The gospel is for all people. And that takes us to verses 11 through 17, which I want to read to you this morning. It says, for I'm longing to see you. Paul is not with the Romans. He's actually never with the Romans. It says, for I'm longing to see you so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. So I want to look at these words for a minute. What do we get from this? What do we glean from this about why we should share? How does this connect to others? Right? We're called to do that. We're called to love people and step out and connect and share the good news of the story. Paul believes the gospel. He believes that it's the good news about the love of Christ for the world. You notice that he says for Greek or Greek, Jew, Gentile. Gentile was just other. That was the term that they would use at the time. And it is a shockingly amazing thing that Paul, this guy who used to persecute people who followed the way, is now coming and saying this message is for everybody. I mean, if we could get our heads around that for just a moment, that he says it's good news for everybody, and then he recognizes that it's good news for everybody because they're hungry for it. I mean, look at what he says here in verse 11. He says, I'm longing to see you so that I might share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Paul wants to come and be with them because he wants to bring them the good news in person. He wants them to receive it as an enrichment to their lives. Think about this for a second. Paul doesn't want to go share the news because some pastor told him he should. He doesn't want to go share the news because he thinks if they don't get the news, they're bad people. He thinks he should share it because he loves them. And he loves the message of the gospel in such a beautiful, powerful, rich way. He knows that it's going to change their lives, so he's compelled to go out and do it. I like to say it's like the Christmas morning thing. When you come down and there's a gift, you can open it or you get to open it. Right? Paul gets to go and share this message. And that's what he wants to do. Now, here's the thing. He knows there's a mutual benefit to sharing it. He believes that not only will they get something, but he'll get something out of it. Look at the next one. It says, or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, I said this last week and the week before that a lot of people have said since COVID, you know, the church has changed and people recognize they don't need the church as much. Here's the funny thing. Paul, at this point in time, is secluded from these people just like many of us were during COVID. He is put in isolation. He's actually in prison at the time. And yet, even in the midst of that, he longs to be with them because what he knows is that there is value and importance in the church, in people coming together and being together. He knows that coming together is so important. Look at verse 13. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. It's like, I want to be with you. Because what Paul knows is that being in the midst of community is transformative. He knows that belonging to a community changes your life. Now listen, there was no internet connections back in Paul's time, right? There was nobody that was going to send an email saying, you go to coffee with you. At that time, it was so natural for people to do. And it's a longing and it's a calling that I have to help our church connect with one another, to help us engage each other, and to help us engage our greater community, which is what Paul calls us to do. So how do we do it? What are practical ways without you having to get up and stand on the street corner and do it? Here's one way. Share, like, or comment. You're like, this sounds like a marketing ploy. It's not. It's actually not. The easiest way that you can talk about your church is to share what your church is already saying. Really, it's the easiest way because they don't know if it comes from you, right? They just know that there's somebody else. But share it. Get it out there. Like, comment. If you have social media. If you don't, just tell somebody about it. Invite somebody to experience it, right? Tell them, you don't have to hear the message. Fast forward to the third song. Hey, hear the third song in our worship experience on Sunday. It was a great song, whatever it is. But share it, let people know. Here's the second thing. This is probably the most important. Keep your life clean. What do I mean by that? If you go on rants on social media, y'all know who you are, right? If you go on whatever your political bent is strongly, if you use the phrase, if you do this blank, then defriend me blank, it is going to be harder for you to share about your faith. It's just going to be harder. Or if you're one of those people who you come in and you walk into work and you're grumpy every day and you're just kind of sour, and what are they going to say when you say, oh, by the way, you should come to my church? They're going to be like, I don't want anything that you're having. So I say keep your life clean. Not clean in the way that the church has often said, right? A lot of, well, just be good and you be perfect and follow all the rules. That's not it. Let your life reflect the community that you want to invite people to be a part of. So that's an important thing. Here's the third one. Third one is get comfortable with your story. Figure out what your story is, whatever it is. If your story is one where you said, look, I've never wandered into a church. I happened to wander into a church. I spent the last few weeks there. I'm not afraid of it. It's okay. People were nice. They had good donuts. Let that be your story. If your story is one where your life has literally been changed in the midst of community, let that be your story. But learn how to tell it because it's your story. Tell it in a powerful way because it's yours. Look, maybe your story is, hey, I just want to tell you, I go to a church and they believe in science, and that's enough for somebody. Maybe your story is, I go to a church that's not racist, that's not homophobic, that's not, and that's your story. Because what we're trying to do is dispel some of the myths that people have about the church. Because, man, people have developed a story, and it hasn't come just in their head. It's come because of things that the church has done. Now, here's the fourth thing, and this is an action thing. In your worship guide, many of you got a card. If you have one, pull that out. If you didn't get one, we'll get you one after worship too. And on it, there's a little thing, a little address that says New Neighbor Act. We have received, by the grace and goodness of someone who knows what to do, some information about people that have moved into our community in the last 2 months. Right, these are people that have moved within a mile or two radius around us. And I'd love to just send them a little note and an invitation. It has their address on here. So if you don't do it, somebody's not going to get one, by the way. But seriously, right? They're going to be sitting in their house going, why didn't anybody invite me? They invited my neighbors. So I want to invite you right now, right where you are. Susan's going to play something, I think, for just a minute. I want to invite you to write a little note. And your note in this little section under all are welcome might say something like, welcome to the neighborhood. We're so glad you're here. I hope you'll check out our church. All are welcome. Cindy, whatever your name is. We worship at 10 a.m. Whatever it is, because this is not an invitation to grow seats, butts in our seats. This is an invitation because there are people who move into these communities who don't know anybody, who don't feel like they connect to anybody, and who don't belong. And what we're saying is we want to be a church that would welcome them. You can start playing, it's fine. We want to be a church that will welcome them. Sometimes she waits for me, but I could go all day, right? We want to be a church that would welcome them and love them. And maybe you just want to say that, hey, if you come to this church, I just want to tell you, you'll be loved. And if this is your first Sunday, believe me when I say it. But take a minute, just take a minute right now, right on this card. After worship, there are going to be baskets on the way out. And I'm going to finish up the message. I just have a couple more minutes. But take a minute and write on the card. Write something that if you were moving new into a community, you would want to hear. Make it welcoming. Make it encouraging. Don't fill every little space because, you know, we want them to read it. Write clearly enough that they can read it. But think about the impact that if you just moved into a community, you might get from receiving a card that says you belong here. So just take a moment and do it. All right, on the way out, there are going to be baskets. Hey, if just one of these gets to somebody who's looking, if one of these gets to somebody who just moved in and says, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do, I'm struggling with this in my life, it'll be a gift and a blessing to them. Paul says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Friends, that's basically saying good news is for everybody. This loving, engaging community is for everybody. We have an opportunity over this next year to choose to connect with people in a deeper, more engaging way, maybe than we've ever done before, to share with them a little bit of joy, a little bit of love. What if there was joy outside the house of the Lord? Meaning, what if we took it with us? What if we carried it with us? What if we connected with others in that way? Don't wait. Here's the beautiful thing about DeMar Hamlin's story. He was loving people before he ever got to the NFL. He was sharing joy with kids before he ever got there. It was once he got there that his story could be amplified, that it could be shared in really powerful ways. Friends, I want to invite you to think as you leave today about the ways that you can help others belong, feel connected. And if it's not in this church, how can you make them feel connected in your neighborhood? How can you make them feel connected in your community? What door have you not knocked on yet? We can still do that in Northern Virginia, by the way. We can knock on our neighbors' doors. What new neighbor has moved in that you haven't taken dinner to, or cookies, or brownies, or whatever? Who is longing to belong? We're going to receive communion today. We're going to get to come to the table, and we have different stations. The ushers will direct you. As Paul said in that passage, all are welcome. All can come and all can receive. This is God's table. It's not my table. There's nothing you can do to earn coming to the table, and there's nothing you can do that can keep you away. That's the beauty of it. God wants to meet you in this space to tell you that you're loved. When you receive the bread or receive the cup, you can either get it in the prepackage or you can get it from the loaf and the cup. Gluten-free will be at those, every station in the prepackaged or in the center station in bread and cup. But when you receive it, what I want you to hear when you receive it, as if Christ were saying it himself, you are loved. You belong here. I want you to hear those powerful words in the experience. If you don't feel like you belong anywhere else, I pray you sense you belong at the table. Because Jesus had walked through life with these folks, the folks who had been rejected, who had been put out, who had been on the other side of the inside of society. And he spent life with them and he spent time with them. And over again, his message was for them. And then he went to celebrate this meal. And it was a meal where they were remembering God's love. And at the meal, he took bread. And he gave thanks to God, and then he broke the bread. And then he gave it to those disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. As often as you eat bread, Jesus said, remember me. And friends, when I hear that and I look at the life of Christ, what I hear is that message of remember me and how much I love you, so share that love with the world. Don't exclude. Don't put people out. Don't say they're not welcome. Don't other people. Don't tell people that their story is not significant or does it matter? Jesus said, remember me every time you eat bread. When the supper was over, he poured into the cup. And again, the first thing he did was he gave thanks to God. And then he gave it to those disciples and he said, hey, drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new promise poured out for you and for everybody for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink from the cup, in that same way, remember me. Remember the universality of the cup, the transformation that it brings to our lives. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit, God, on all of us here and those online over these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body of Christ for the world. Recognize that we are redeemed by his blood. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one seeking to engage the world, to love the world, to walk alongside people and help them sense that they belong, not just in our church, but that they belong to you. God, that they belong, whatever their story is, whatever their background is, that they're loved, not because of what they've done, but because of who they are, one of your beloved favorite children. So Holy Spirit, meet us in this place today, as I know you will. Amen. I'm gonna invite those who are serving communion to come on up, and as soon as they're up and ready, the ushers will let you know, come forward. So if that's the only message that you leave with today, that you are perfectly loved, y'all go ahead, y'all are fine. That you are perfectly loved by God, let that be enough. Share that with the world. Friends, I am gonna be leaving here in just a few minutes to head over to Old Ox Brewery in Ashburn, and I would love for you to join me there. If you didn't sign up, it's okay. Come, hang out. We'd love to see you there. Share the good news, because the good news is that everybody's perfectly loved by God. Amen?